Over the weekend, Mike Isaac from the New York Times published a piece on Uber's CEO, Travis Kalanick. Isaac recounts several stories about the CEO, including an in-person meeting with Tim Cook, where the Apple CEO threatened to remove Uber from the App Store for identifying and tagging iPhones. It was a great read with many buried tidbits, including the fact that a service called Unroll.me that I have recommended in the past sold users' information to Uber. Here to talk about this is Ian Thompson from The Register. Welcome back to the show, Ian.
Always a pleasure, Megan. Always a pleasure.
So let's start by talking a little bit about what Unroll.me does.
Okay, well, this was, it's actually a service which several of the journos here in the office have been using, not admittedly after today's story, but the idea behind the service was to cut down the amount of extraneous data that you were giving out to third parties. It would basically crawl through your webmail account and determine what things, what services and newsletters and things you were subscribed to, and then give you the option of either deleting those if you didn't want them, shifting them to a special folder if you did, and generally improving the privacy and functionality of your email account, which is what makes today's little kerfuffle quite so amusing and in a very dark sort of way.
So they were crawling through our email accounts. This was actually written in their privacy policy. This was something if we spent the time reading, we would have seen that they do this. They would have to monetize. But it's ironic because, like you said, they're a service that's designed to sort of cut down on spam, and they were selling their information to Uber. What exactly did Uber want from our email accounts?
Well, what Uber wanted was a list of roughly how many Lyft receipts they were seeing in people's email accounts. Now, this data was anonymized, so they weren't actually saying, Timothy Perkins of such and such a town used Lyft 3 or 4 times this week. They were taking anonymized bunches of data and saying, right, well, within this survey group, these people had Lyft accounts and Lyft ride receipts. So this was being used by Uber as a way of gauging how many people were using Lyft in a particular geographical area or in a particular vertical sector, and that way they could gauge how well they were doing against the competition. So the fact that they were actually, this is a relatively new service that the Unroll.me have been offering. I think it's about since 2014 that they began selling this stuff off. And yes, it was in the terms and conditions and the privacy policy. But I've been through that, and there's over 5,000 words in there. And given the standard level of reading comprehension and the amount of legalese that is used to camouflage exactly what this means, I think, to be quite frank, to turn around and blame the users for not reading the T's and C's and privacy policy, as the CEO did today, is, well, I would say insulting. Other people would say insensitive, maybe, or something even slightly more diplomatic. But bloody insulting is my take on it.
Yeah, I mean, the CEO of Unroll.me, of course, apologized. They said that they need to do better, which makes me wonder, okay, well, need to do better what? Coming up with your business plan, because, you had chosen... Well, yeah, there it is. The title of their post is "We Can Do Better." That was their chosen that's their profit model, right? Like, that's how they make money off of their users. If something is free, you're the product. That's something we hear time and time again. Should we be surprised to find out things like this at this point? I feel like it's just kind of part and parcel for how free services operate. It's, they do it until they get caught, and then maybe there's a change, maybe there isn't.
Well, yeah, I think what was particularly galling about this, though, was that he wasn't actually apologizing for selling people's data off without giving them adequate warning. He was apologizing for getting caught doing it. Mm-hmm. And in the terms of great tech non-apologies, that certainly ranks in the top five that I can think of the last few years. I mean, it's, yes, on one level, as you're right, you are the customer if the product is free. But the very point of this service was supposed to be reducing the amount of people that had access to your email and your email data. And then to turn around, sell that information off to someone else, and then issue this, like, oh, we're really sorry we got caught. We'll try and make it clearer that we're what we're doing next time. I mean, I'm willing to bet if you went to a representative sample of people who'd subscribed to this service, then none of them had an idea that this was going on. And in terms of, well, you should have read the terms and conditions, some fascinating research a couple of years ago out of Scandinavia, where they worked out if you actually read the terms and conditions of every service and app that somebody uses over a year, it would take you 72 years to do so. So, this whole, well, you should have read the terms and conditions thing, that's honestly just bollocks. There's no way that you can do it in the real world. And customers as companies have got to get a lot clearer about what exactly they're doing with this data, where they're making their money. But also consumers have got to get a lot sharper about thinking, when you access a service, what actually are you giving up in exchange for using it? So a little bit of blame on both sides, but I think honestly the company has should have done an awful lot clearer job of doing this. I mean, when you're advertising on your website, this is a free service, and putting no further details in there, it all looks a bit shabby, to be honest.
I mean, to be fair, in his blog post, he wasn't necessarily blaming the user, just saying, he said, sure, we have a team terms of agreement, and you know, we know that most people don't take the time to read it. So what they were saying was what they were going to do better was put it up higher, you know, maybe like in a FAQ on their page or something like that. I think what was so upsetting to people was, first of all, that, you know, it was ironic that what the service was designed to do versus what they were doing to monetize. But also his apology, he said it was heartbreaking to see that some of our users were upset to learn about how we monetize our free service. So I think it was just the language that was used. Just, it was a little bit patronizing.
I'm sorry, like, you were offended.
Yeah, and we're heartbroken. Like, really, are you heartbroken?
Yeah,
it's on a par with greeting Abraham Lincoln's wife with, you know, apart from that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you enjoy the play? You know, I mean, it's just the use of the term heartbreaking really was taking the piss. I mean, how could he possibly? Is he honestly expecting us to think that he read this report and went, damn, I'm heartbroken by this, as opposed to picking up the PR person's phone number and going, sort this now, otherwise you've got a real problem. Give me something to say that sounds good. And it just, it was...
Otherwise, you'll be just heartbroken.
Yes,
like,
well...
Wait a minute.
Otherwise, yes, you know, there's the door, use it. You know, it right. just... And this is a perennial problem with Silicon Valley, is that, you know, we get all these heartfelt, beautifully crafted statements, which, you know, they're supposed to indicate, oh, we're so torn up over this, and you know deep down they couldn't honestly give a monkeys about this. It's just about bad publicity, and they're worried about losing and worried about losing users in the same way that so many other companies, including their customer Uber, has been in the past. So I think a little less, you know, bleeding heart, oh, we're so sorry, and a little more, okay, we should have made this clear in the first time. We apologize if anyone's upset, but it's not a massive deal at the end of the day. I'd have a lot more respect for a statement like that rather than we were heartbroken.
Well, I mean, so the Slice Intelligence is the parent company of Unroll.me. I guess they bought them. And they're a data company. And, I mean, so much of the world is moving through data right now. I mean, so much, I mean, every person, we, you know, we collect data. I mean, not, you know, we want to know how many people are watching. We want to, you know, make better choices about what, you know, our content is and where we distribute it. You know, we're not, it's anonymous, but I mean, what can you say at this point? Like, shouldn't we just all get used to it that we are data essentially?
Yes, I mean, it is an increasing issue for, you know, for any business sector, including ours as well. I mean, we need to know how many people are reading particular articles and when they're reading them and how they're interacting with them, that sort of thing, so that we can actually fund the publication through advertising. But at the same time, I don't think we should just roll over on this one. I mean, over the next, we're already sort of 5 years into this, but over the next 10 years, 15 years, we're going to have to build some ground rules in the industry for how this is done. And at the moment, it seems to be the way that Silicon Valley and other tech firms seem to be dealing with this is grab what you can, grab everything you can. It may be useful later. And hey, if we can get a revenue stream from selling it to third parties, so much the better. And I think companies need to take a lot more nuanced approach to this. They need to, A, make customers much more aware of what data they're handing over, make it much, much clearer, not just sticking a few paragraphs of boilerplate at the bottom of a 5,000-word document. And we also need to, there also needs to be some quid pro quo here, because, you know, Facebook or Gmail, you can understand that, you know, you pay a certain amount of data to use those products. What's more concerning is at the moment there seems to be a whole scale data grab, as we've seen with the Republican Party managing to pass this ridiculous law to scam to sell off everybody's internet histories. And this is a losing battle at the moment. And until people actually stand up and say, this is not what I want, and vote with their feet, then we're not going to get the issue sorted, because, you know, at the end of the day, business is business and business is there to make money.
So there's a brewing breaking story about Webroot that I think you're working on. Is there anything you can tell us about that?
Yeah, we're just putting the Webroot story up now. It has been a phenomenally bad day for Webroot. Basically, at the start, I think it kicked off about 3 p.m. Mountain Time. Webroot started identifying an awful lot of legitimate files on Windows 10 as Trojans and started removing and deleting them. Now, this has caused two major problems. Firstly, if you're running a Windows system and you're running Webroot, then you know you are a wee bit shafted on this one. But Webroot also has a really big reseller community who provide managed services for an awful lot of companies. And if you read the social media feeds coming from those companies at the moment, it's an absolute disaster for them. Because all you know, the people who pay them money to manage their security are now questioning should they really be paying money to have Windows 10 completely mucked up on their system. And you've got thousands upon thousands of workstations which are essentially unusable at the moment. Now, the company has been back to us fairly quickly. They said they're working on a solution. But you've got to ask yourself, this is not the first time this has happened for Webroot. They had something similar happen in February. But what kind of testing procedures were they running on before they rolled out the upgrade or the update which presumably caused this? We have asked them if there was a recent update which could have caused this, and we haven't received an answer on that one. But quite frankly, at the moment, if you're using Webroot, you'll be better to disable it and use a bog-standard security suite just for the moment. Because, as I say, at the moment, there are Windows 10 machines going down all over the world.
Well, Ian, thank you so much. You can read Ian's story at theregister.co.uk, and you can find Ian also on Twitter at Ian Thompson. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ian.
Always a pleasure. Have a great show.
Take care. See you.